From your perspective, have you heard anything to lead you to know whether Detroit needs an emergency financial manager?
Boy, I think they're very, very close. I really hope the city of Detroit is interested in working closely with the director of the Department of Treasury, Andy Dillon, and I hope we can work together. I really appreciate and respect what the governor is trying to do and Mayor Bing to work together, because I think that's really where the answer is.
Well, I've heard naysayers say that the governor's just trying to put a financial manager in there to kill the unions and to take over the city and to...
I don't believe that's true. If he wanted to do that, he could have done it last fall. I think he's been extremely patient. And I think he's been very cooperative in working with everybody within the city of Detroit. I think the team he put together, if you talk to the representatives and senators from Detroit, they have a lot of respect for that team as they begin to review the finances for the city of Detroit. So there, I think he's done an outstanding job.
You have proposed two measures that you think will lead to greater transparency. Is there a problem?
I think when it comes to transparency, there's something we should always continually work at. People always want to know what government is doing. I do spend your money, Tony, as a state representative, and I think you have every right and every we should make it as easy for you to see how we spend your money as possible.
So tell me about the two bills.
You'll have to remind me which
All
two
right.
bills.
You've proposed two measures that you believe will lead to greater. This is a press release that's from your office.
Mm-hmm.
House Concurrent Resolution 45 urges the U.S. Supreme Court to televise its proceedings.
We're looking at a couple things, not only the U.S. Congress, but also the Michigan Congress to televise what we do, but also keep those on file. So if somebody would like to go back and look at what happened during a committee meeting or during a House session, that is available to them easier and quicker. Currently, right now, it's really not available and they're not being stored.
Now, I know the Supreme Court, that issue's come up at other states around. Mm-hmm. We want to know what's going on with the courts, and they're trying to figure their way through that process in these modern times, but they've got the tradition of not doing that.
And technology does provide new challenges for government and trying to allow government to do its business in an open, transparent way, but also at times to sit down and have conversations, in a constructive, positive way.
You know, when you talk about transparency, it's a difficult topic. Well, probably one of the most difficult questions I've ever asked you and I've ever asked anyone was when we received some emails and we saw a story accusing you of indulging in dinners or lunches or whatever. People are always watching and probably looking for the negative, I guess, especially if they don't like you or some of your proposals.
And, you know, I don't go out to lunches, but I do go out for dinners. I'll be going out for dinner tonight, and that's sometimes with other representatives. Oftentimes, it's with somebody who wants to talk about an issue. It could be with a reporter who wants to go into a detailed discussion on the bridge or maybe on a transparency issue. I don't have a problem with that. They're in public. Anyone can join us at any point in time. My district is just north of your city of DeWitt, so oftentimes if I'm having a lunch or a dinner, somebody will see me. They'll come in and sit down and join us.
Is that uncomfortable? Do you think that people ought to give you a little privacy?
I'm not uncomfortable with it. I see part of my job is to try to explain everything that we do. I think that's where people do have a natural curiosity, and they're interested in it. I've had a lot of people job shadow me for a morning or for a day, and they always find it fascinating. They sit in on any meeting I have with anybody in my office.
And I ask you all these questions because they're kind of bundled into a conversation I had with Gretchen Whitmer on the program, and she believes there's still somewhat of a good old boys network, and women find it challenging and disrespectful in the comments that they hear and the innuendos made. Do you ever see or hear about any of that?
I don't see women being excluded. I don't see that. Now, that may happen. I'm not aware of that. I think there's probably a good old boys network, but that's more from a political perspective. I think both parties have the ins that tend to be around and have been around for a long, long time. But then I have an obligation if I want to do something about that or if I want to influence that, I have an obligation to be assertive and insert myself into that.
And then, you know, that ties into the rhetoric. I was watching the debates last night, as I was telling you, and just hearing the way people can talk to each other, especially in a professional quarry like you're involved in, and to hear people calling names and saying mean things and whatnot, we seem to have lost that respect factor in some instances.
I think we have, and with politics, I think it's become okay to yell at a politician or call a politician names. I think the press is a part of that. I think the general public, you know, feeds on that. And to some extent, sometimes we're a problem because we do it ourselves. I tend to be willing to talk with anybody. Representative Joan Bauer from Lansing and I have a great relationship. We co-chair the bipartisan Mid-Michigan Caucus. But I think you'll agree that Joan is a very fair, professional legislator, and we can talk about almost any topic on the floor of the House that we're voting on, I think, in a very intelligent way. And agree at times to disagree, and at times agree to agree.
From your perspective, is the media fair? Do they cover state government well enough?
My experience has been fantastic. Personally, I've never had a bad experience with any of the reporters, TV or print.
We've never gotten it wrong with you before?
You've done a great job, Tony. You actually have. And I've complimented other reporters. I was told never give my cell phone number to any reporter or any news DJ like yourself.
Really? And who told you that?
That's just part of the when you go to the pre-politician school at Michigan State University after you get elected, they say never do that. And I've always done that. No reporter has ever abused that. They've never taken advantage of it. And it's worked very, very well.
All right, before we let you get out of here, what's coming up from your end? What are you going to be working on? What's going to be the hot topic?
Sharing transportation, the governor's 10-bill package for more funding for roads and bridges, the transit authority for Southeast Michigan. The whole concept in working with transportation is going to really, I think, take a lot of our time between now and June 30th.
Well, if you're cutting money from education, where are you going to find money for transportation?
Well, and, you know, my line as I talk to everybody within the transportation industry is K-12 wants $1 billion. Higher ed wants $1 billion. Local government, who I'll be talking to on Friday, Michigan Municipal League, they want $1 billion. General state government would like to see $1 billion, and roads would like $1.4 billion.
Okay, so there's $5.5 billion right
it
there.
It adds up.
Everybody, anyone ever say, here's some money for you? They're always asking.
No, we took a 10% pay cut and a 25% cut in office expenses over the last 13 months. So, no, nobody ever offers you more money.
All right, Representative Paul Opsimer, thanks so much, sir, for
coming
in.